It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 17 in the NFL. A couple days later than normal. We are recording this and producing it on a Friday, but we also have a lot more information as a result, which should help you guys for all of your daily fantasy needs, especially on the draft app. More on that a little bit later. We are presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast, because they've got the best odds, the fastest payouts. Week 17 is a unique animal, Evan. We know it. Evan, of course, can be found over at Roto World or on Twitter at Evan Silva. He's the guy that just drops knowledge bombs throughout the show, and his preparation and knowledge is without peer. I love it. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. If you want to follow sort of the main Twitter handle for all the Ross Tucker podcasts, it's at RTF Podcast, so you know when any of them are posted pretty much right away. But week 17, a unique animal. We know that because a lot of guys sitting out and a lot of your leagues are done. So it's pretty much a DraftKings play draft type of world that we're talking about. All right, Evan, let's start with the Packers and the Lions. Actually intrigued. It sounds like Jordy Nelson's not going to play, huh? So I'm kind of intrigued to see some of these other Packers receivers, mm-hmm. like the guy I saw Saturday night, Michael Clark, big body from Marshall. I think they like him. And going against the Lions team that obviously really disappointed a week ago.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Davante Adams is going to play either. He's going to end his contract year sitting out due to a concussion. Randall Cobb is going to play. I don't think that you can use any of these Packers pass catchers in daily fantasy. I mean, you could try to get cute with Randall Cobb. He did have an 8-catch game at one point with Brett Hundley, but he went for 39 yards in that game. I think the play here is the Lions' defense, actually, against the Packers' offense. I know that Brett Hundley has been better on the road. I think that some of his road production even has been a little fluky. I just don't think he's a very good quarterback right now at this stage of his career. And the Lions are going to go all out in this game. They're going to be playing all their starters. The Packers are not going to be playing all of their starters for injury reasons, et cetera. I mean, they're not taking any chances with any guys that are banged up. So the Lions should, with Jim Caldwell trying to save his job and trying to pull out another win, the Lions are going to clearly be the superior team in this matchup. The one Packer that I think is a good theoretical fantasy play is Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones looks like he's not going to play. He re-injured his knee last week, went back and looked at all the games that Jamal Williams had played where Aaron Jones was either inactive or just played single-digit snaps in the game. Jamal Williams had 21, 22, 25, 23, 22, and 15 touches. That's a lot of touches. And the Lions are weak against the run. They got shredded by Giovanni Bernard and Brian Hill last week, 251 total yards to the Bengals running backs and a touchdown. The Lions have allowed 15 rushing touchdowns in their last 10 games, 100 or more rushing yards to 6 of their last 7 opponents. So it's a really good matchup in a game where Jamal Williams can be a workhorse. The concern, of course, is will the Packers fall behind? I think they will. But we have seen Jamal Williams have some big catch games. He had 7 catches against the Browns when the Packers fell behind about a month ago. So he can stay involved in those scenarios. I really like Matthew Stafford to finish strong. He's historically had Dom Capers number in their last 3 meetings. Matthew Stafford was the quarterback 6, quarterback 8, and quarterback 2 on the week when he has faced Dom Capers. And over their last 6 meetings against each other, Matthew Stafford has thrown multiple touchdowns in all 6. This year at home, Matthew Stafford. He has a 14-3 touchdown to interception ratio. He's fourth in the NFL in 20-plus yard completions. The Packers have given up the ninth most 20-plus yard pass plays this year. I think that if you go down and look at his pass catcher core too, Matthew Stafford is in a great position. The backfield is a three-way timeshare at this point, but Theo Riddick plays the most. He's the receiving back. The Packers have given up the eighth most catches, tenth most receiving yards to running back, so they are vulnerable in that area. They are certainly vulnerable to Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones has just crushed them since the Lions have since the Lions signed him a couple of years ago. And in their last five games, the Packers have given up eight touchdowns to wide receivers. Seven catches for 107 and two touchdowns, five for 76, six catches for 205 yards in two touchdowns. Those are Marvin Jones' three career stat lines against the Packers since joining the Lions. Golden Tate also has really strong historical numbers against the Packers, and I think that this is a game where he can step back up after a couple of consecutively two quiet weeks. Kenny Galladay, so T.J. Jones was placed on injured reserve. He had been kind of sharing that third receiver role with Kenny Galladay, the exciting rookie. But T.J. Jones went on injured reserve before last week's game. Kenny Galladay played 95% of the snaps, saw eight targets, a season high, also ran a season high in routes, 40 routes. So he was a full-time player last week, and I think that he is going to be that again this week against the Packers in a great matchup. He is an interesting breakout candidate in week 17. We see, you know, young players or players that didn't get used properly all season, or they got their roles were smaller, take on bigger roles in week 17 games and step up for really, really big ones. And I think that Kenny Galladay can be a guy who does that this year. Eric Ebron has led the Lions in targets in three straight games. The Packers have given up four touchdowns to tight ends in their last five games. Eric Ebron has shown consistency, four or more catches in six straight games. I would expect to have another solid game. And again, that brings us all back to Matthew Stafford, maybe my favorite pound-for-pound quarterback play on the week. And we can move on to the next one.
The next one is the Texans and the Colts. Last I saw, Evan, it sounded like DeAndre Hopkins was not going to play with a calf injury and missed the first game of his career. Although, then I saw some stuff that said maybe game time decision. I don't know what to do there.
Yeah, so NFL Network reported that, there were multiple reports that he is out. The first one was from Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, and he just doesn't miss. So I would expect also Sarah Barshop of ESPN, like the ESPN reporter for the Texans, she also reported that DeAndre Hopkins was not going to play. And then after all that, Bill O'Brien came out and said, well, we think he's going to be a game-time decision. So at this point, you know, I'm expecting DeAndre Hopkins to not play. This just reinforces to me that the Colts are a sneaky Week 17 defense play. First of all, if you just go back and look at all the defenses that have played against the Texans in games where Deshaun Watson did not start, those defenses have had high floors and high ceilings. You're talking about matching up with Tom Savage and T.J. Yates. You're going to be matching up with T.J. Yates, who was just atrocious in Week 16 against the Steelers. And I know that the Colts do not have a good defense, but I think that the Colts are going to play well in this spot. We have seen, you can say what you want about Chuck Pagano as a coach. These players are still playing hard for him. And I think that the Texans or the Colts can actually build a big lead in this game. I think that Jacoby Brissett has a shot at a big game. You go back and look at the defenses that Jacoby Brissett has faced over the past month and a half. Steelers, when they were playing really well in pass defense. Jaguars, Bills, Broncos, Ravens. I mean, those are, you know, some of the best pass defenses in, that football has to offer. And so, you know, looking back at how Jacoby Brissett has performed recently, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that his numbers don't look good. I think that he does bounce back and have a good numbers game against this Texans defense. 8 of the last 9 quarterbacks to face the Texans have been top 15 quarterbacks on the week. Top 10 finishes allowed to Jared Goff, Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, and Jacoby Brissett himself when they played around midseason. The Texans have given up 23 passing touchdowns in their last 11 games. And they've given up the 10th most rushing yards to quarterbacks this year. All that bodes well for Jacoby Brissett. I think that T.Y. Hilton rips this up against the Texans defense that has given up the 8th most 20-plus yard pass plays in the NFL and the most completions of 40-plus yards in the NFL. I think that Jack Doyle is real solid. He's in a real solid spot here as well. The Texans have given the 6th most fantasy points in the 6 most touchdowns to tight ends. So I like the Colts offense really as a whole, and I like their defense. I just think that they're going to play well as a team. Frank Gore is, you know, never a high upside fantasy play theoretically, but he could become the 5th player in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in 10 separate seasons. The only running backs that have ever done that before, Walter Payton, Curtis Martin, Barry Sanders, and Emmitt Smith. Now, the Colts had a chance to get him there in Week 17 last year, and they did not go out of their way to do it. So my guess is that they are not going to go out of their way to try to get Frank Gore 139 rushing yards. I mean, at Frank Gore's pace, that would take something, you know, in the range of 35 carries. Most likely. The Texans have been weaker against the run recently. They've given up over 100 rushing yards in 6 of their last 7 games and 4.6 yards per carry to running backs in the last 5 weeks. But I think that ultimately, although Frank Gore has a shot to join this elite company, I don't think that the Colts are going to go out of their way to get him there. On the Texans side, I mean, I think you can throw a dart at Will Fuller with no DeAndre Hopkins, because Will Fuller becomes, you know, a candidate for like 7 or 8 targets to at least lead the team in targets. Those targets are probably going to be inefficient against T.J. Yates. On the other hand, the Colts did just place their top cornerback, Rashawn Melvin, on injured reserve. I mean, the matchup is great, theoretically, for Will Fuller. It just will be a question of whether or not T.J. Yates can get him the rock. And then in the backfield, Alfred Blue has had more carries than Lamar Miller in back-to-back games. I'm starting to think the Texans are going to cut Lamar Miller after the season. I think it's going to be a split backfield against the Colts, and so neither of these running backs is super, super enticing. But Alfred Blue has, again, out-carried Lamar Miller 28-19 in the last 2 weeks, and he has out-rushed him 163-87. So I do not think that Alfred Blue is going to go away as a Week 17 factor. We can move on to the next one.
Okay, let's get to Chicago and Minnesota. Vikings appear to be playing all their guys to make sure that they have that bye.
Yes, I think the play that stands out from the Vikings side is Latavius Murray. I think that this is a game that the Vikings should control. They are 11.5-point home favorites. They have been dominant defense at home, holding opponents to 12.5 points per game over their last 8 home games. I don't think that the Bears are going to go into Minnesota and score many points. The Vikings control this one. Latavius Murray, he is up to 7th in the NFL in carries inside the 5-yard line. He's up to 4th in the NFL in red zone carries, 19 or more touches in 4 of the last 5 weeks. I mean, they've been using him more and more as the season has gone on, Jerick McKinnon's usage has been a lot more up and down week to week. And I don't think that this game sets up particularly well for Jerick McKinnon because I don't think that the Bears are going to put the Vikings in many passing situations. The Bears have also allowed the ninth fewest receiving yards to running back. So I think this will be a Latavius Murray-dominated game. And the Bears have shown weakness against the run lately. In their last five games, they've allowed 4.7 yards per carry to opposing RBs. None of the guys in the pass catcher, in the passing game for the Vikings really stand out. The Bears' defensive strength has been against the pass. They've allowed multiple touchdown passes in just 4 of 15 games. 9 of the last 11 quarterbacks to face the Bears have finished as the quarterback 16 or worse on the week. These cornerbacks, Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Prince Amukamara, all playing at really, really high levels. Even when these teams met in week 5, I think that was a Monday night game, and Sam Bradford was hobbling around, and he wound up getting replaced by Case Keenum during the game. So, you know, you could take it with a little grain of salt. But Adam Thielen had 5 catches for 34 yards. Stephon Diggs had 1 catch for 4 yards. I'm sure that one or two of these Vikings passing game members is going to have a good game. I just really, it's hard to like to try to forecast who it's going to be because the matchup does not stand out as strong. I guess I would go with Stephon Diggs. He has been much better in home games this year. 85-yard average in home games, 45-yard average on the road. He has scored 5 touchdowns in the 5 home games that he has played this year. A little worried about Kyle Rudolph's health. He averaged 30 routes run per game in the first 13 games. Over the last 2, 12 and 16 routes run. He has been battling an ankle injury. He was limited in practice again this week. So just don't know what we're going to get out of Kyle Rudolph. Jordan Howard, terrible matchup. Going to be without Josh Sitton and Bobby Massey, his left guard and his right tackle. He was already going to be without Kyle Long, who was placed on injury reserve a couple weeks ago. I would just say no interest in anyone on the Bears, and we can move forward.
Wow. Okay. How about then the Jets and the Patriots? Patriots want to secure that bye, and Gronk is trying to get some incentives. I just wanted to shed a little bit of light on this because we were tweeting about it.
Evan. Yeah.
So I've seen some teams I played on, not New England, but some other teams I played on where guys had significant playing time bonuses or other bonuses, and it was clear that the team did not want them to get them. I mean, I remember Sam Adams for the Bills, and he had a playing time bonus that was a couple million bucks, and they weren't playing him. And he went up to Greg Williams and was like, dude, I know what you're doing. This is BS. I think he even said to him, look, you're getting fired anyway. What do you care? And I think then Greg Williams put him in and he got it, if memory serves. So my point is, and I remember after I had a big playing time bonus, the next day I went in there and the salary cap guy, he knew it. I said to him, you know, I hit my 80%. He's like, yep, congratulations. You know, we don't have a problem with that because we feel like you guys earned that. And that's fine. But that was also, we were playing in a game where if we won, we made the playoffs in Buffalo that year. So my point is they're very aware of it. And it's not just about the money. They don't like giving the money out. But any dollar you ever give a player goes against your cap. So knowing that and knowing how much Belichick counts every penny for cap purposes, I just didn't envision him feeding Gronk in any way. Look, he's going to do what it takes to beat the Jets. But I didn't envision him feeding Gronk to try to get him the $2 million or whatever it is. Because that hits the cap, and that's real money. And I know that if Gronk gets first-team All-Pro, which is a strong possibility, that he'll get it anyway. But it just doesn't seem to me, knowing what I know from other teams, and then Belichick, and how he counts the cap dollars and everybody's dollars very closely. Just didn't seem to me like he'd be out there like feeding Gronk to make sure he gets the bonus. But some Pats fans gave me some examples of, I guess, Corey Dillon had a $375,000 bonus, and there's a Vince Wilfork one as well. I don't know that those are $2 million, though. I'll just put it that way. I mean, $375,000 isn't going to really have any impact on your cap or your ability to field a team the next year. $2 million, like that's real money, you know, against the salary cap. So, anyway, I thought it was interesting. Patriots fans on Twitter, I appreciate them educating me on a couple of examples where the team paid it out anyway. And maybe they will feed Gronk. But I don't, man, based on my experience, what I know about Belichick and my experience with other teams, I just don't envision that happening.
Well, Patriots fans also look at this from a very glass half full view, and, you know, they think that they have the Patriots up on the pedestal, you know, so little grain of salt there. I mean, so these are the benchmarks that Gronk needs to clear to in order to receive the $2 million bonus. 11 catches. Now that would require them going out of their way to feed him. I mean, 11 catches, you don't see that very often for a wide receiver, let alone a tight end. Although in 2005, in week 7, Gronk did have 11 catches against the Jets. So it is within his range of potential outcomes. It's highly unlikely. 116 yards is the other benchmark, and he doesn't necessarily have to be fed to get there. I mean, he can get there on, you know, 5 or 6 catches. So, you know, it just takes a couple of big plays to get him there. And then, of course, he gets it if he is elected first team all pro, which he should be. But those do not come out until January 5th or January 6th. And, I mean, who knows how the voters are going to vote? Like, they could vote Travis Kelce as the first team all-pro in the AFC, you know, tight end. Maybe they're mad at Gronk for, you know, body slamming Tre'Davious White or whatever. I mean, guys that are deserving of certain accolades don't always get those accolades. Should Rob Gronkowski get it? Yes. Is he likely to get it? Yes. Is it like 80 to 85% probability with 15 to 20% for Travis Kelce? Probably. So, I don't know. Either way, I think that Gronk is going to be out there. I think that the Jets or the Patriots are going to go all out to win. I think that Brady has a bounce-back game against this Jets defense that has given up 30 or more points in 3 of its 5 games since its Week 11 bye. I think that we're going to see another full workload from Deion Lewis. Rex Burkhead not going to play. Mike Gillisley, it looks like, is not going to play. He is not practiced this week. And then James White is questionable with that ankle injury that kept him out last week. That would leave the backfield down to Deion Lewis and Brandon Bolden. Brandon Bolden got a couple of carries last week. He may see an increased role, but I think that we will see Deion Lewis be the Patriots' feature back again. He was 72% of the snaps last week, career-high 29 touches. He was awesome, and I think that he will get the opportunity to do that again. The Jets are definitely going to be without Muhammad Wilkerson for disciplinary reasons, and it looks like they're also going to be without Leonard Williams, their best defensive lineman, due to a back injury. Deion Lewis, once again, one of the best plays in fantasy football. We talked about Gronk. The Jets have given up the 7th most fantasy points to tight ends. They helped resurrect Antonio Gates last week. Antonio Gates had 6 for 81 and a touchdown against them. Brandon Cooks has been, you know, up and down, but the Jets are vulnerable to players of his skill set. 2nd most completions of 20-plus yards allowed. Brandon Cooks is 8th among wide receivers in 20-plus yard catches, and he had 6 for 93 when these teams met in Week 6. You go back and look at a bunch of the wide receivers that have had bigger games against the Jets, speed-oriented guys, Tyreek Hill, Deontay Thompson. That's Brandon Cooks, who ran 4.33 coming out of Oregon. On the Jets side, You know, Bilal Powell had a really nice game last week. His usage really wasn't that different than usual in terms of his playing time. 42% of the snaps. Matt Forte played 41%. Elijah McGuire will maybe more involved this week. Patriots are pretty weak in run defense. They're vulnerable to receiving backs. Bilal Powell checks those boxes. But, you know, I just really don't trust his workload. Last week, Bilal Powell did have 19 touches, but in five of his previous six games, he had 13 touches or fewer. Don't want any part of these Jets pass catchers. It looks like some of them may be out, too, due to injury. With Bryce Petty at quarterback, none of the Jets pass catchers have done anything. There has been some talk that we may see Christian Hackenberg make a cameo in this game, although, as you pointed out, that may actually be an embarrassment to the organization, and therefore that may actually make it less likely that Christian Hackenberg gets into the game. Either way, I really like the Patriots' defense. You go back and look at all the defenses that have faced Bryce Petty in the games that he has started, including last season. We have a six-start sample. Those defenses finishes the defense 8 on the week, the defense 12 on the week, two defense 1s on the week, defense 13, defense 10 on the week. So I think that the Patriots can have a big game defensively here as well. We can move on to the next one.
Redskins, Giants, no Eli Apple for the Giants. You and I both read that story. What a shame, his family situation. Yep. And, I mean, very smart move financially by the Giants to rightfully suspend him with the way he was acting this week. And just not smart by Eli Apple to miss out now on close to $7 million fully guaranteed over the next couple of years. And the Redskins, you know, I thought before the year, Evan, that they'd probably go about 7-9 with, you know, the guys they lost, the receivers they lost. It's kind of remarkable that Terrell Pryor gave them nothing, much to my surprise, and they had crazy amount of injuries, and they still have a great chance to go 8-8, primarily because of how Kirk Cousins has played.
Yeah, and I think that he can finish strong, and of course he still has plenty to play for. You know, his offense has been whittled down by injuries. And, you know, all around him, he has lost his best pass-catching running back. He hasn't had his left tackle, Trent Williams, in a while. And he is going to be facing off with a Giants defense that is pretty much, you know, it's pretty much dead. I mean, Landon Collins was placed on injured reserve. They have demoted Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. They have given up 9 combined touchdown passes over their last 3 games to Drew Stanton, Nick Foles, and otherwise struggling Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott's only good game in the last like 8 games came against the Giants. So I think that Kirk Cousins can really finish strong here. He has been a top 5 fantasy quarterback in 3 of his last 5 starts. Now, in the games where he was not a top 5 fantasy quarterback, he was he didn't perform at all. So he's a little boom or bust. But I think that against this particular defense, he's going to play well. The backfield to me, even against the Giants, is one to avoid. Samaje Perine, all kinds of banged up. He has been ineffective for an extended stretch of time. He had 20 touches last week, but didn't do much. Capri Bibbs had 9, but they played about the exact same amount of snaps. Samaje Perine, 51%. Capri Bibbs, 49%. Kirk Cousins. Okay, so, and another thing to like about Kirk Cousins is his pass catcher core. Jamison Crowder lit up the Giants when they played on Thanksgiving. 7 for 141 and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald in the slot, 9 for 119 and a touchdown last week. Nelson Agholor a couple weeks ago with Nick Foles at quarterback, 7 for 59 and a touchdown against the Giants. So they're having trouble with slot receivers. And I think that probably stems directly to their odd demotion of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I mean, almost like they're tanking. The Giants on the season have allowed 32 touchdown passes, most in the league, six most completions of 20-plus yards. I think that those things bode well for Josh Doctson. Janoris Jenkins has been on IR for about a month. Josh Doctson saw 13 targets last week, somehow only caught two of them. But, you know, that suggests that they are trying to feed him later in the season. Vernon Davis, his usage has been all over the place. I mean, last five games, 1, 2, 7, 5, 3 target totals during that stretch. The Giants, we know that they get crushed by tight ends. Every year, they've given up the most fantasy points to tight ends in the NFL. This season, the matchup is great. When these teams played on Thanksgiving, Vernon Davis had 0 catches on 1 target. So it's going to be up to Kirk Cousins. You know, is he going to pull the trigger on throws to Vernon Davis? Jamison Crowder is clearly his guy. But ultimately, I think that all these guys are in great spots against the Giants, and Kirk Cousins can be the primary beneficiary. On the other side, Evan Ingram dealing with rib injury, Sterling Shepard dealing with a neck injury. Some beat writers think that Eli Manning could get pulled for Davis Webb during the game, but Steve Spagnuolo made that pretty clear that he expects Eli Manning to play the full game. I don't want to mess around with this Giants passing game. I think that the best play on the Giants offense is Wayne Gallman. He has been utilized heavily. Last week, he played 72% of the snaps, season high. It's like the Giants are trying to give him a really long look here down the stretch. The Redskins have allowed 4.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs in their last 9 games, 8 rushing touchdowns to RBs during that stretch. Wayne Gallman has been heavily involved in the passing game, 19 receptions over the last 3 weeks, averaging over 16 touches per game during that span. I saw he was super cheaply priced on DraftKings. So if you want to fit in some heavy hitters like Julio Jones, you know, maybe pay up for Russell Wilson, maybe pay up for Gronk. Like, Gallman is a way for you to get there. Again, great matchup and being utilized heavily in the passing game. We can move on to the next one.
Next one is Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys, they're going all out. And I will say, I think every coach wants to win every game, but especially if you're on the hot seat or perceived hot seat. I also think coaches really look like they feel like there's a much bigger difference between how you finish with a win or a loss, and also the difference between 7-9 and 8-8, or 8-8, 9-7. You know, it's either a winning season, 8-8, or a losing season. I think Garrett and the Cowboys really want to get to 9-7. We don't really know. What's the latest that you're hearing about the Eagles and their playing time in this game?
Yeah, so this game is really hard for me to talk extensively about. The Eagles, so Doug Peterson has said repeatedly that he wanted to get Nate Sudfeld, you know, a quarterback that they had claimed off of the Redskins practice squad. He is their backup. He has been wanting to get him reps. Alshon Jeffrey was asked whether he thought that the starters could play or should play in week 17. And he said, I feel 50-50 about that. You know, I think that the Eagles are going to try to rest as many starters as possible. I think that they, you know, Andy Reid has always done that. And Doug Peterson comes from that Andy Reid tree. So that's my expectation. There really has not been any concrete reporting on it. And it may be because the Eagles beat writers are just already under the assumption that we're not going to see starters play. I'm with you. So the week began with Jerry Jones saying that he thought it was a good opportunity to give younger players like Cooper Rush a chance to play in this week 17 game. And then later in the week, Jason Garrett came out and said that he is going to play everybody who is healthy. Now, that is kind of vague. I'm going to play everybody who's healthy. And then if you combine that with what Jerry Jones said, and we're just trying to, you know, read tea leaves here and you connect dots. But if you combine that with what Jerry Jones said, it's there could be an opportunity for, you know, younger players like Cooper Rush, this number two quarterback that they really like. He was awesome in the preseason. I mean, there was even a point when where Dak was struggling and Cowboys fans were like, we got to play Cooper Rush. So I think that we may see some guys like that play in this game, but I think that I'm with you that, you know, the Cowboys can get to 9-7. Jason Garrett is going to want to win. His job security, I think, is – I mean, I know Jerry Jones just loves him, but I think it could come into question. It would be more likely to come into question if he went 8-8 than if he finished 9-7. And then, you know, facing a defense, an Eagles defense, that will probably be resting as many starters as it can. That makes Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, and Dez Bryant interesting if you think that you can get a full game out of them. Now, Ezekiel Elliott doesn't even necessarily need a full game to have a big game. But ultimately, like, this is probably the number one game. There are one or two more, but this is one of the games where I really don't have a good feel for playing time. And I'm personally going to avoid it. Now, I may easily come to regret not using like Ezekiel Elliott in daily fantasy. But at this point in the week, my plan is to avoid. I don't feel confident in playing time on either side.
The last of the 1 o'clock games here, Evan, for part one of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast for week 17 is the game that I will be at. It's the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Browns, obviously, highly, highly motivated to not lose another game and go 0-16. The Steelers, meanwhile, the only reports I've seen, Marcus Gilbert said on a radio station that Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell will not play. Makes you wonder who else won't be playing for the Steelers. Guys like Cam Hayward, maybe even some inside linebackers, given the fact that Shazier's out. Do they really want Vince Williams to play? I mean, it'd be interesting. I always think Week 17 is interesting to see who plays and who doesn't, but it appears as if no Le'Veon Bell as well as no Big Ben. So might be a big Stephen Ridley game. Goes from the bench to getting 25 carries maybe. I mean, goes from not even the bench, goes from the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they signed him just a few weeks ago. They wouldn't have had to sign him if James Conner had not suffered a knee injury, but James Conner is out for the year. So it will be a backfield of Stephen Ridley and Fitzgerald Toussaint. I am also under the assumption that we will not see Ben or Le'Veon Bell, that Landry Jones will start. Juju Smith-Schuster, although he was great in the last game, he has battled a late-season hamstring injury. I don't really see any reason for them to play him a lot. I mean, when they can give a lot of snaps to Justin Hunter, to Eli Rogers, to Darius Hayward Bay. Same goes for Martavis Bryant. I don't think that we're going to see, you know, these frontline Steelers play very much at this point. That gives an opportunity to the Browns to finally get their first win. And they should win this game. I mean, and we've said it before, they should have beaten the Packers. I don't want to get into it on this show, but they blew it. And Isaiah Crowell, I think, stands out as the best play on the Browns side. There was a very similar situation last week, 17. Against the Steelers, and Isaiah Crowell was facing them when they were resting starters, 168 total yards. Isaiah Crowell went off in that game. This is the final game of Isaiah Crowell's contract here. He has played really well in the second half of the season. Last 8 weeks, 5.45 yards per carry. And the Steelers defense since losing Ryan Shazier has fallen apart against the run. Last four games allowing 5.7 yards per carry, five rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. So Isaiah Crowell is, you know, he's never a guy that, like, I play in daily fantasy, but I think that if there is a week to play him, this would be it. I think that the only other guy really worth talking about is Josh Gordon. He has out-targeted Corey Coleman 36-19 since coming back from his suspension. Unfortunately, the Browns have not been able to get him the ball consistently. You know what you're getting into. You're probably going to get a lot of targets. It's going to be a good matchup. Joe Hayden would be maybe the likeliest Steelers defensive player to rest in a game like this. And the Steelers, without Joe Hayden, have been terrible in pass defense. You know what you're getting into. I think you're going to get a lot of targets in a very good matchup. It's just going to be a matter of, can DeShone Kizer get him the rock?
Excellent stuff, Evan, as always, on the 1 p.m. games. Now that we have that information, we immediately go to our draft app, which should already be on our phone. If it's not, get it on your phone. This thing's awesome. It's not a salary cap league. You get to just do a snake draft like you want to do, and you can do a draft whenever you want. They got NBA, too, for those of you that are into the NBA. If you're in the NFL, today, tomorrow, even Sunday morning, you can get in these drafts. You can be done in 5 minutes, and you can win some real money. Plus, you can play for free if you haven't already when you make your first deposit just by using my promo code FEAST. Again, playing a real money draft for free just by using promo code FEAST. Plus, here's what's so cool. They are so confident in the fact that you will love it that they're giving a $100 back money guarantee. It's awesome. Just search Draft in your app store, or if you'd rather do it on your laptop, go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST. All right, so that's 7-1 p.m. Eastern Time games in the book. In the books, plural. Evan, we will hit up all of the 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time games. There's 9 of them. Count them, 9 of them in part 2, which we will record right now and release shortly after midnight so your podcast apps don't go crazy with 2 podcasts from the same show on the same day. So that'll release after Saturday at midnight. Other than that, totally stuffed with that knowledge sandwich. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want, and here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.